The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's shiur is on the topic of Hanukkah. 2 years ago, I gave a shiur on Hanukkah on the topic of Hidur Mitzvah. This evening I would like to say again a shiur on Hidur Mitzvah, but rather from a different perspective. Then I spoke on the milus, the attributes of Hidur Mitzvah. There's another perspective, and that's the pitfalls of Hidur Mitzvah. But first, let us just briefly summarize what was said in that last shiur. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, Tana Rabbanan, Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ishu Beisai. The Mitzvah of Chanukah is one candle for each household. B'Mahadrin, those who want to be Mahadr. What does it mean to be Mahadr? Rashi brings Amahadrin Achara Mitzvahs, those who want to pursue more mitzvahs. Durach, Rabbeinu Chananel, he brings Mahadrin Hidur Mitzvah, Ad Shlish, like the Gemara brings in Baba Kama, from the word to beautify mitzvahs. Amahadrin, Ner Lechol Echot Ve'Echot. Then they should light one candle each day. That means one candle on the first day, one candle on the second day, one candle on the third day. Every individual in the house. Actually, we'll speak about that in a minute. Amahadrin mina mahadrin, and those who want to pursue mitzvahs even more, or beautify mitzvahs even more, beishama imrim yemirishen madlik shmeina, mikan ve'elech peches ve'helech, beishama says on the first day, one should light 8 candles, the second day 7, the third day 6, and so on, ubeishila imrim yemirishen madlik achas, beishilo says, no, the first day you should light 1, mikan ve'elech meisi ve'helech, and after that you add 1 candle every day. And the Gemara gives different reasons. One reason for the Machleges Beis Shammai is Beis Shammai holds keneged yomim hanichnasim. You must signify how many days are yet to come. So the first day, you have 8 days of Chanukah to come. Therefore, you light 8 candles, the Mahadrin min Mahadrin. Second day, you on the seventh day, 7 days to come. Therefore, you light 7 candles. And Beis Hillel holds keneged yomim hayotzin, those days that are being passed by. The first day is only the first day, the second, 2, the third, 3. Then the Gemara gives another reason also, Tamir Beis Shammai keneged priachag, the sacrifices that were brought on Sukkot. They started with a large number and they slowly diminished. Tamir Beis Hillel demalin bekodesh vein meridin. And Beis Hillel says no, that when you are Asik, when you occupy yourself with something which is Kodesh, something which has to do with the spirituality of the world, you must start small and slowly add, not start large and diminish. It was actually, I believe, last year we gave a shiur on this this principle, Malin Bekodesh Be'en Meridin. The source of this principle to be mahadr, to try to pursue more in a mitzvah, or to make a mitzvah even more beautiful, this comes from the source of what is known as chasidus. That means we have what is known as midus hadin. Midus hadin is when you do what is right and just. what the law requires. Then you have what is known as Midas Chassidus, which is Lifnim Meshuras Adin. You do more than the actual law requires. You do more what justice requires. For example, if you have a litigation with someone and the law and the justice requires that you must pay him 50 rand and you give him 100 rand, that's not Midas HaDin, that's Midas HaChassidus. You're doing more than what is required. The Mesilas Yeshorim in the Shar HaChassidus elaborates on this a great deal with many parokim, many chapters. And he says that the motivation, or what should be the motivation of Midas HaChassidus, is someone who wants to do bring the greatest possible nachas ruach liyetzrei, the greatest possible pleasure to his creator, like an eved, a servant who serves his master. You have an eved, a servant that will do a little less than required. You have one that will do what is required. And then you have the servant that will go out of his way, always trying to do even more than is required, because he wants to bring the greatest joy to his master. And this covers all mitzvahs, whether it's bein odem lechavere, between man and his fellow man. Morin baba kama daf lamed brings a reitzen ma vichosid lekai mili nezikin. Says if a person wants to be a chosid, the first thing he has to do is fulfill all matters of money matters, of litigations, of damages. He got to be a chosid when it comes to his dealings between him and his fellow man. And then the Gemara says, Makai mili da ovis, midas tevis. A person wants to be a chosid, he's got to be a chosid to bring perfection to himself, great perfection to himself. Never to be arrogant, never to be angry even where he should be angry, and so forth. And then the Gemara says, Kai mili de brochus. Brochus have to do between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can be a chosid in all mitzvahs bein odem lamokim, by doing a little more than what is required. And this is what the Chazal in many places refer to as mitzvah min amuvchar. Mitzvah min amuvchar is there's a regular way to fulfill a mitzvah, but then there's a better way to fulfill a mitzvah. Or kol amar be'areze meshubach. When you do more, it is praiseworthy. You're not obligated, but when you do more, it is praiseworthy. For example, the Gemara we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, that if you fulfill everything that's written in the Haggadah, you have fulfilled all the mitzvahs of the night. But if you talk even more about the going out of Egypt, Hareze Meshubach, he is praiseworthy. Accordingly, it's not limited to the article of the mitzvah, like a beautiful esrog or a beautiful talis, and it's not limited to it has no standardization. It fits into every act of a person and every mitzvah of a person. There's no such thing as I'm a mahadr. What do you mean you're a mahadr? It depends on what we're speaking about. And therefore it changes from mitzvah to mitzvah, from situation to situation, from act to act. It has to do with what the person is doing, how is he doing it, what his intentions are, what the particular situations are. But the main thing is that it should bring more nachas, more pleasure to one's creator. And each hidur has to be judged in accordance to its own individual merit, what the particular situation is, what the particular act is, who the person is, and so forth. There is no standardization to it. And all of this that I'm saying now, our great rabbis elaborate on, and in particular the great Chosid, the Baal Mesillas Yeshorim, and he writes that the Shikol HaChasidus, to weigh exactly what to do and when to do and how to do, Zuhi Aveda Kosher Beod. This is from the most difficult avodas, the most difficult things that a person is faced with. Another important principle is that this Hidur Mahadrim has its source in Avas Hashem. Because a person loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he loves his master, he wants to do more for him. Therefore, it's only relevant to positive acts. There is also a Midas Chasidus, the Mahadrim is, there's also a Midas Chasidus when it comes to negative acts, Leisa says. But that's no longer called Hidur. That technically is called Prishus, the Mesillas Yesharim explains. See? Which means that when it comes to doing something that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants, he wants you to bring a sacrifice, you bring a better sacrifice. He wants you to bring a nice esrog, you bring a nicer esrog. When it comes to doing something that he doesn't want, that is the terminology is not correct. The terminology is not correct to say he's being mahader. But there the terminology is, thank you. Thank you. There the terminology is to use that he's perish, precious. That means abstinence. Because Baruch Hu told you not to do this, and this is the line. You don't walk up to the line. You walk up before the line and you stop. That's why when it comes, and that is not correct to say one is mahader. There it's correct to say one is perish or one is zohir. That comes from the Midas Hazirus, from Yireh, or to say one is machmir. That's why all of the time the Loshen HaPeskim would be Bal Nefesh Yifresh Miseh, Bal Nefesh Yizor Miseh, or Medaktek B'mitzvah. These are a few of the principles that we elaborated on in the last shiur. Now, incidentally, Chasidus, according to one opinion in the Gemara, is the highest level that a person can attain on the ladder of Avedis Hashem. And the Gemara, when the Gemara referred to a Chosid, it was Ahu Chosid, that Chosid, it was usually referring to someone that met Eliyahu Anovi, Gilui Eliyahu. And Eliyahu told him something. So this was the level of Chasidus. Now, the question that I want to deal with this evening is, we're living in a generation today where it is the tendency. Now I'm referring to the so-called Torah camp. It is the tendency to try to always do more than one is required when it comes to mitzvahs. To be mahader, to be machmer, to be perish, whatever the situation might be. In the last generations, when we had the Ruach HaTorah was Gever, when we had Gedele Yisrael, who had come from long lines going back to the Meseris, and this is documented all the way back to the Shas, They were extremely cautious when it came to be mahadir or to be machmir with any mitzvah. And not only were they extremely cautious, but they even discouraged, enormously discouraged, their talmidim or others for partaking almost in any hidurim or chumras, with a few rare exceptions where the Gemara or the Shulchan Aruch will tell us explicitly that one should do it. It's almost as if it's required. But if it wasn't an absolute requirement, they would teach, don't do it. And not only would they teach, don't do it, but they would even show great displeasure and even scorn against those that would do it. And this was the basic conduct of all of the places where there was the Or HaTorah, the light of Torah. Now why is this? Why did we find, what were they so concerned about? Just totally contrary to where the emphasis is placed today. Firstly, this is obvious, that one who is a chosid, a mahadir, he has to be a great chochom. He has to have quite a bit of wisdom. Because if the entire purpose is to bring greater pleasure to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, then he has to know what is bringing greater pleasure to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, where the requirement is clearly spelled out. And the Gemara and the Peskim and the Shulchan Aruch say, this is what you must do. Alright, so then, if he's a Chocham, he'll know exactly what he's supposed to do. But where he comes to add, to be massive, to add to the mitzvahs, or to limit the mitzvahs, the Leisa says, he has to know what he's doing very, very well. Because how do we know this is bringing nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Maybe it comes out that he's been massive, he's adding, and really he's been mekalkel megareya. Instead of being constructive, he's been destructive. For example, this sugi of Hanukkah, it's very clear in the Gemara and in all of the Peskim that the purpose of the lighting of the candles on Hanukkah is Pishume Niso, to publicize the great miracle that took place. The Rambam uses the Loshon Zichrein HaNes, that we should always remember and cause others to remember the great miracle. If that's the case, the Seichel would be Machayev, the intellect would require that the larger the candle, the greater the mitzvah. The fact is, we'll take a torch and light it. That's greater Pesumei Niso. This is the mitzvah min amuvchor. This is a better mitzvah, a mahadir. In such a case, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah at all. He was mevatel the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Because the Gemara tells us, avukas posel, can't use a torch. You can only use a candle. Go to another instance. If the whole purpose is to spread the miracle, therefore the higher you light it, the higher your menorah is, the more mitzvah. So we'll get a giant menorah. We'll put it up 50 amos in the city. And there we'll fulfill the mitzvah. It'll be a hidur. Such a case, you haven't fulfilled any mitzvah. Because a menorah which is higher than 20 amos What is 20 amas? About how many meters? 10 meters is posels, disqualified. Another example. If it's for Pesume Nisa, so we put it in a place where most people can, the more the better, the more people will see it. So why should I light it by my window? Why should I even light it in the front of my house? We'll go to Santon Square, or we'll go to Rosebank, or we'll go to a stadium, and we'll light it there, and tens and thousands of people will see it. Halacha is, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah, you were mevatel the mitzvah of Hanukkah, because you have to light it in your house. But I'm a mahadir. You're not a mahadir. This is a ksil. This is what the Gemara calls a ksil and a hedget, a fool, because you do not understand the mitzvah. This is like the Odin, the Ebed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Odin, the master, told the Odin to do something, and he makes this whole same calculation that if this is what he wants, so surely he must have wanted more of it. And he never understood why the Odin wanted it in the first place. Had he understood, then he wouldn't be doing what he did. There's times when a person is a chochem, but a ksas chochem. He's a half a chochem. In other words, he knows that a menorah higher than 20 amos, he knows that, is not kosher. All right, so he'll make sure that his menorah is not 20 amos high. But what will he make it? Well, how will he make his menorah? He'll make it 15 amos high. Because surely 15 amos high is better than a low menorah. He'll have fulfilled the mitzvah, but not the hidur. Even though he was trying to be mahadir. Because the hidur is to make it less than 10 tfochim. The Gemara tells us. 10 tfochim is about 3 feet high, about a meter high. The mitzvah is to make it less than a meter high. But how can that be? If the whole purpose is to spread the miracle, who's going to see it at that point? No, the Rosh says there's a reason, good reason for it. Because when you have it high, that's how people have their lights. So how is it evident that it's for the miracle? Today it's a little different because we make the menorah from a candle and we make the lights from electricity, but especially in the days when everything was candle, so how would anybody notice what it is? Therefore the Chachomim were mesaking. They said if it's less than 20 amas, it's all right. But if possible, the best is even less than 10 tfochim. Because then no one will say le'erehu tzorich, that he's lighting it for his own purposes. Because who lights a lamp so low? Then it's clearly evident he's lighting it zichron hanes, to remember the miracle. See, here's a case that someone came to be mahadir, and he was megareya. He wasn't mahadir. The same case here where we have Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, it seems a simple piece of Gemara that we just learned. Simple piece of Gemara. The Rambam holds that the Hidur is the Balabais lights the candles, not each person in the house. And if there are two or three or four people in the house, then the Balabais, he lights that many candles for everyone in the house. But the others don't. If the others do, according to the Rambam, you haven't fulfilled the Hidur. When it comes to Mahadring, mean Mahadring, that you should light different numbers of candles every day, the Balei Tesfis holds that's only if just the Balabais is lighting. But if everyone in the household lights, then you shouldn't light different numbers of candles every day. Because the whole purpose of lighting different candles every day is it signifies what day of Hanukkah it is, what day of the miracle. And if you have five people in the house, and it's the fifth day, so you have 25 candles. So the Balei Tesfis says, how can you tell what day of the miracle it is? And therefore, such a case he holds, you won't fulfill the Hidur. She says, the Hidur is either each one lights alone, one candle, or the Balabais, he's the one who lights the consecutive numbers of candles. Others say that yes, everyone can light, and a consecutive number, an additional number of candles, but then everyone must place his candles in a different place. So when we look at the candles, we immediately can tell what day it is, because that was the whole purpose of the Mahadarin Min Mahadarin. Now how's a fool going to be Mahadar? He's not going to know, he's going to be turned around in circles here. Now, here I just quoted a few things here. Now, what do we see from here? We see that when it comes to Torah, it's a chokhmah. It's for chachomim. It's not for fools. And this is what the Torah tells us, and this is what Achazal tells us. Firstly, we have the Mishnah Novice. The ignorant cannot come to Hasidus. That's impossible. And then there's an Or Chaim. There's an Or Chaim in the Chumash, in Parshas Vayikra. In Vayikra, Parshas Bechukesai. This my Rebbetzin showed me. Where he brings that it's also forbidden for an ignorant person to be machmer, to do more than the deen requires, because he's got to be makalkal. How does he know what to do? He could destroy the whole mitzvah if he does exactly what's required. So then hopefully he'll fulfill the mitzvah, but to be machmer means to tamper with the mitzvah. It's like you have a sophisticated computer and you tell the person exactly what to do. If he's an outstanding expert, he can be a little creative. But if not, what he brings, it's one is not allowed. The Or Chaim, incidentally, was referred to as the Or Chaim HaKadosh. This is how he was always referred to. He lived, must have lived in the 1400s, 1500s. He was great not only in Torah, but in Sod and Kabbalah. And that's why he was referred to as the Or Chaim HaKadosh. And this is what he writes. Now we can understand a bit. Why was the previous generation so much against it? But we've only scratched the surface. When the Chazal tell us Le Am Oretz Chosid, that the ignorant cannot become a Chosid, which means beyond righteousness, more than righteous, there was a number of reasons. Firstly, isn't there enough mitzvahs in the Torah for one to fulfill in accordance to the basic requirements, according to the basic halachos? Does he have so much time on his hands and so much emotional and spiritual energy and strength that he's looking for additional mitzvahs to fulfill? He's looking to add to the mitzvahs. This is for the great Hasidim, for those that met up with Eliyahu, these type of people. That was the first reason why they said Lo Amor is Kosid. Secondly, if he's not Boki, if he is not an expert in Kol HaTorah Kulin, the entire Torah, and even in the Sod, in the Sisrei Torah, the concealed parts of the Torah, how's he going to understand what brings greater pleasure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If we do what exactly spelled out for us, okay. But to come and be creative and to do more, to many times even great ketelim. There were times with my Rebbe Rav Gifter, I would ask him something and he would say yes or no, and I would tell him, but it's brought that in the Divrei Tzod, Divrei Kabbalah, it says differently. He would go like that, just with the hand. Ainli Esekim Anistoros. Well, what are you throwing Kabbalah at me? And it would be Masnichin. And the Chassam Sefer writes it. Chassam Sefer was held as the biggest gaon in Western Europe. In the 1700s, they held him in Western Europe greater than the Vilna Gaon in Eastern Europe. The Westerners held him. And many places in the Tshuvas, they come and they ask the Chassam Sefer, how does he permit this? In the Divrei Kabbalah or the Zayar or other places, it said you're not forbidden. He would say, Ainli Esekim Anistoris. I have nothing to do with the Nistoris. Esek Shali Rakim Abaye Varova. He says, I'm interested only in the Gemara. And the reason for that is because who can understand what is in the Sod? Hadomer, you think it's so easy. I remember there was a person that came here once, and by Birchas Kahanim, I was davening, and I bowed a certain way. First one way, then another way, and so forth. So he asked me, doesn't it say in Halacha you should do another way? Another different version. So I sat down with him, and we went through the Halacha. We went through the Halacha for about a half an hour. And most of it was based on Kabbalah that had crept into Shulchan Aruch. And we came out, when we finished, five versions of which way to bow. Five versions. Morgan Avram one way, another Pesach another way. This is not for us. Now, and there's another reason why Le'amot Chosid. As mentioned before, because Chasidus is the highest level that a person can attain. Therefore, it's not for the average man on the street. Because of that, even Gedalei Dodos, even great, great Gaonim, they themselves would refrain from many of these things. The Vilna Gaon, he was known as Agon HaChosid. He used to say, don't call me a Chosid. He said, no. Chasidus I haven't come to yet. This is what he would say on himself. And the Gaon wrote a Pirush, a commentary on the four Halokim of Shulchan Aruch. I don't know if anyone ever attempted. It's written in very small letters, and the Gaon with one or two words is able to write a whole concept. I don't know if anyone ever attempted to count how many halachos are in the Bir Hagra, in that commentary in Shulchan Aruch. Probably in the hundreds of thousands. I've been learning it for the last 40 to 50 years. Covered very small amounts of it, but I've been spending the last 40 or 50 years learning it. I can only recall in one place, I'm sure there might be more places, but I can only recall one place where the Gaon will quote a Zohar HaKodesh, but he'll bring in Kabbalah in the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of halachos. And he was a master when it came to Kabbalah. But when it came to citing the halacha on Shulchan Aruch, and his entire bi'ur, the entire commentary, he will not bring hidurim or chumras. He will bring consistently what the halacha is. If he's stringent, that's because the halacha requires it. And many, many times he will argue with other great poskim codifiers, and he will say, Chumra Yeseirohi. This is an unnecessary stringency. And he will reject it. This was the Gaon Achosit. The Mesilas Yesharim, he himself had complaints on those that refrained from trying to become a chosid, those that refrained from learning sod and from fulfilling the hidurim and the chumras, the prishus. He had complaints, but his complaints were directed to the G'dayli Doros, to the greatest of the generations, saying, you should not refrain. To those who knew Shas frontwards and backwards and upside down, that were his complaint. He says, you should not refrain. On the populace, he writes that he, this was in his generation yet. He lived in the 1700s. He writes, because the populace has pushed themselves into this area, hivish es milas hachasidus. They have made the level of chasidus repugnant and detestful. This is what he writes. They have made it like it is some scorn. He scorns it. They have made it like it's some ignorance and witchcraft. He calls hivish es milas hachasidus. This is where that attitude comes from. And this is what the Torah tells us. The Torah tells us, and this is a Rashi. It's a Chazal. Rashi brings it. In Parshas Vayeshanan, the Torah says, Re'ei, it says in Parshas Vayeshanan, Devarim, Dalet, Posukei and onwards. Re'ei lamadeti eschem chukim u'mishpotim kasher tzivani Hashem elokai. Moshe Rabbeinu says, see, I have taught you statutes and laws like Hashem has taught me. Shmartem v'asisem, guard them carefully and fulfill them. Ki hi chochmaschem uvinaschem le'enei ho'amim. Because this is the wisdom, the great wisdom that you have in the eyes of the nations. The Omru and the nations will say, Rak am chochom venovain hagoy hagodl azeh. Is there a nation in the whole world that is so wise and understanding? Now, Moshe didn't tell the people that the Jews will be known throughout the world because of their achievements in medicine. They'll be known throughout the world because of their achievements in business, their achievements in science. That's not. He says their achievements in Torah, that they understand Torah. And it, the Torah calls it the chokhmah, the wisdom. It's the greatest of all wisdoms. Who would go and tamper with medicines? Who would go in a pharmacy and start giving out medicines to people, but he doesn't know anything about pharmaceutical makeups? Who would go to become a cardiologist or a surgeon if he knows nothing about it? He would go study years and years and years. This chokhmah, astronomy, this is the great chokhmah. Ki mi goy gadol asher le'elokim, mi goy gadol asher le'chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim. Who is a nation like this nation that has such just and righteous laws? Now the next pasuk says after this, Rak, Hishom elecho, guard yourselves, u'shmor nafshecho mi'ed, guard yourselves carefully, pentishkach es advarim, lest, if you do not study this all of your lives, if you do not study day and night, you will forget. Rashi says, he says, Ki hi chochmaskem ubinaskem bezos techashvu chachomim bezos techashvu chachomim udenveinim le'enei ha'amim. The nations will come to respect you when they see how well you understand Torah. When you have such chukim u'mishpotim tzadikim hegonin u'mekubolim, you have such just and beautiful laws. But be careful, because if you do not guard them, and you do not study them, and you do not understand them properly, and v'tasum alamitosum, and you do not fulfill them the way they should be filled, tekshivu chachomim u'nevainim, if you fulfill them the way they should, then you will be known as wise men. Im tavusei som, but if you distort them because you do not understand them, techshvu shotim, the nations will laugh at you and call you fools. This is a wisdom. It's what the Mesidrash Yeshorim says. They will become detestful. They will become repugnant in the eyes of the nations. These are just laws. This is a chokhmah. This is a wisdom. This is insanity. This is foolishness. This is nonsense, the people will say. This is what the Torah tells us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe is telling the people that. That's how high we can go, or as high as we can, low as we can sink. Either the nations will call us the greatest and wisest people of the world, because of our Torah, or they will call us the greatest fools because of our Torah, if we do not understand what we're doing and fulfill them correctly. What we've just said is what the Chazal tell us, kolapotem midover v'asua nikra hedjut. Whoever is not required to do something and he does it, he's called a hedjut, a fool. This is a Yishalmi in the Sekhta Shabbos, the first parak halacha beis. The Gro, the Vilna Gaon in Shneis Eliyahu, in the Sekhta Brochus, he says, if you're not required to do something and you do it, you're called a hedjut. So when then, if you're not required to do something and you do it, you call the chosid? When then is the hidur? He says, simple. He says, when you're not required to do something and you do it, and you do it, and even after you do it, you've achieved exactly nothing, then it's a fool. You're a hedjut. When you're not required to do something, and you do it anyhow, and through that, you achieve what the mitzvah wanted you to achieve, and even more. Like the example we gave, that if you say over the sipur, the telling over the going out of Egypt, like the Haggadah says, you fulfill the mitzvah. If you elaborate, you have fulfilled more mitzvah. Right, that's hidur. That's chasidus. But if you think you're doing something which is mitzvah or more mitzvah, and it comes out it's nothing, then it's obvious. You're a fool. That's how the Gaon explains this. And therefore Rabbeinu Tam says in Masechet Gittin Davov Amud Beis, Rabbeinu Tam brings that when you write, for example, mezuzahs or Sefer Torah, you have to scratch lines in the parchment. This is not for the purpose that the writing should be nice and straight. Even a sofer who can write beautiful lines without the line, with beautiful straight lines, shureis, without the scratching of the lines, is still obligated to scratch in the lines, because it's halacha meishim misinai, this is how we were commanded. But on tefillin, we were not commanded to do so. Unless the sefer can write a straight line. But if he can write a straight line, then we're not commanded to. So the question was asked to Rabbeinu Tam, but maybe it's a mitzvah minam uvcher. It's a better mitzvah if we write, scratch the lines in the parchment and fill in also. Rabbi Natan says, no, absolutely not. And if you do, you're nikra hedjut, you're a fool. Because Meisha didn't command us in that. And therefore there's no purpose in it. So why are you doing it? This is what Rav Eitam brings there, and Tosfos brings this Yushalmi. The Ramah brings the same thing in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Sukkos. The Ramah says, it states that if you sit in a sukkah, and a sukkah has to be like your home, and if the sukkah is too uncomfortable to the point where if it was your home you wouldn't sit there, so no longer do you fulfill a mitzvah. You can't make a bracha. If it's raining, or if it's very, very cold, you can't. So the Ramah says, if it's raining, or if it's so uncomfortable, you must not sit there, because there's no mitzvah. And if you do it, nikra hetket, you're a fool, because what are you achieving? That was a similar case. I remember, there, when it comes to Tfilas Kelim, Tfilas Kelim, the requirement is to immerse new dishes and utensils that are bought from abroad, bought from a non-Jew in a mikveh. The requirement is, if it's metal, then we're obligated according to most Peskim in HaTorah. If it's glass, we're obligated midrabonim. Any other material that has no, that is not, does not have substantial metal in it or substantial glass in it, then there is no obligation. So they once asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, there was a certain material that was not glass, not, it wasn't far from glass, but it was not glass. So they asked him, should we take it to the mikveh? He said, no. What happens if we do? Isn't it a bigger mitzvah? He says, if I'm not afgonished. In Yiddish, Famatzer Afgonish means you're wearing yourself out for nothing. Because there's no shum mitzvah, there's no mitzvah whatsoever. So what are you wearing yourself out for? This was the same result. The same principle. But this far worse cases. There are cases when a person will want to be mahadir. He'll want to be machmir. And not only by not keeping to the exact mitzvah. And great righteous people were tripped up in this. Some of the greatest of our leaders. In Keheles, Shlomo HaMelech writes, now this was brought consistently in the Shmuzim, in the Sichos and Tells. In Keheles, Shlomo HaMelech writes, in Keheles Zayin, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Alti Tzadik Harbe, do not be too righteous. Valtis Hakam Yoser, and do not try to be too wise. Lomo Tishomeim. Why should you be destroy yourself or make yourself desolate? Now, what is Shlomo HaMelech talking about? He's saying, don't be too. A person should be a tzaddik. He should be righteous. No, Shlomo HaMelech says, don't be too. Be righteous, but not too righteous. A person should be wise. He says, no, be wise, but not too wise. Otherwise, you'll destroy yourself. What is he referring to? He's referring to, in general, what we're speaking about, but he's referring also to something in particular, the Medrash states. Medrash Rabbah on that posuk, Medrash Rabbah Zayin Lamed Gimel, brings, Alti Tzadik Harbe Yesem Ibarecha. Don't try to be more righteous than your Creator. Alti Tzchakem Yesem Ibarecha. And don't try to be wiser than your Creator. And it refers to Shol HaMelech in particular. Rashi brings part of the Medrash. It states that when Shol HaMelech, King Saul, when he was ordered to go and destroy Amalek, he asked himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal HaRachamim. He is the one who has compassion for everyone. He's the one who tev l'Hashem l'kol. He's good to everyone. Merachim al kol b'riyosof. On everyone. So why did he tell me to kill the men and the women and the children and the animals? If the men sinned, but why the women and the children and the animals? And he didn't kill everyone. He tried to be more righteous than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He thought he was being Mahadr. He was Mekai Mitzvah Min HaMufcher. He was being more righteous and more compassionate. What happened? From one of his survivors, Gog, came Haman. Haman almost achieved annihilating the entire Jewish nation. There was a Mahadr that almost brought Churban to the world. He brought Churban to himself because Shlomo HaMelech writes further. He says, Loma somos bele itecho. Why should you die before your time? And the Rashi says that refers to Shaul HaMelech. He lost the kingship and he died before his time because of that. And others say that he made a kal v'chomer shel shtus. Now this is not known as a hedjut. Like we said, someone who does something which he thinks he's doing better and he's doing nothing, that's a hedjut. A hedjut is a fool. This is known as a shaiter. A shaiter is more dangerous than a fool. A shaiter already borders on insanity, a lunatic. This is known as a shaiter, the Gemara calls it. Because a lunatic is dangerous. Why is it a lunatic? He said he made a kal v'chomer shel shtus. He made a kal v'chomer, he wanted to make an extraction that was insane. He said the same thing he had by Egla Arufa. The Torah says that if a person is found to be murdered, and we don't know who murdered him, and we cannot find out, the Zakenim, the elders, the Bezdin, have to bring a eagle, a calf, and they have to break the neck of the calf. He said, Kodesh Baruch Hu is Merachim al Kol Briyosam. He has compassion on everyone. If the murderer is guilty, what did the calf do? Why the calf? And these were the thoughts he was having. And this is how he ended up. Another example. The Mesillas Yesharim brings this example. He brings the remnants after the destruction of the first temple, but before we went into Golus, or during that time, we still had a foothold in Eretz Yisrael, and there still was a nation there. But there was an assassination planned against Gedaliah ben Achikam. There was a whole inner revolution going on. So they came to Gedaliah, some of his close confidants, and they told him, they said, Yishmael is planning to overthrow you and to assassinate you. And he became angry. And he said, Chas v'sholom. You're saying lies. I can't accept that Loshon Hara on him. And he refused to accept it. Now, that was a Hasidus. Because when someone tells you Loshon Hara, you shouldn't accept it. Not only that, the Vilna Gaon writes consistently, Hi achamurim mikol aveina shebeteira. It's the worst aveira in the entire Torah, Loshon Hara. So you shouldn't accept it. But there are times when we may accept it, and there are times when we're obligated to accept it. But he wanted to be machmer. He wanted to be a chosid. He says, I refuse to accept this Lashon Hara. And I will not hold suspicions over people that I hold that are my friends. Because of that, he said, Sheker ato deval Yishmael. Ma goram, the Mesillas Yesharim writes, what did this chasidus, what did this mahadrin cause? Goram shemesu, he was killed, because it was true, they were out for him. Nivzuru Yisrael, this was the end of the occupation of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, and they went into Golus. Vekova gehalta anishora, and any light that was left for Klal Yisrael was extinguished. And not only that, but when Yishmael and the others went, and they went and they killed the others, the Torah blames him for the killing. They say, Yaches Akosev Eilov Harigas Anoshim Asher Nehergu, those people that you killed, called Pigre Anoshim Asher Hiku Biyad Gadol Yoho. He was a person, now this was Gedele Yisrael, our greatest. You should know that in all of my association with great people, great Gedalim, and I've had 40, 50 years of association with great, great Gedalim, their lives were not easy. The books write like they had no problems. They made decisions, 1, 2, 3. Sheker, it's lies. Their life was not easy. They were constantly torn. And what they were torn more than anything is these constant decisions, because they knew what relied on it, to the right or to the left. And they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's donim tzadikov kechut asara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges his generals by the breath of the hair. Gedalia was torn here. What should he do? Suspect his best friends, Rimakabel the Loshon Hara, or not? Made the wrong decision. You paid for it. Mesillas Yesharim brings another case. The Gemara attributes the second Churban Bais, the Churban of the second Beis Hamikdash, to a Hasidus. This is called a Hasidus Shel Shtus, a misguided Hasidus. What is that? Zechariah ben Avikolas. There was this man. Story of Kamso Bar Kamso. There was this man that wanted to show the Romans that the Jews are revolting. He said, send them a sacrifice, I'll bring them a sacrifice of yours, and you'll see they won't accept it. And he went and he made a moom in it, an injury, so they couldn't accept it. And now the Gedali Yisrael, they didn't know what to do. Because if we reject it, that's all we need. It was like a tinderbox, keg of dynamite, and that would be the match. If we accept it, on the other hand, it was a mum. So they didn't know what to do. So they decided that we will accept it. There was the great Rabbi Chaya ben Avikolas, who was a great chosid. And he says, no. He vetoed it. He says, you can't accept it. Why? Because a kilkul will come out from it. Bad things will come from it, because people will learn from there that you could take such a sacrifice that has such a moom, such an injury, into our Beis Hamikdash, on our Mizbeach, on our altar. So then they said, look, if we can't accept it, then we must kill this person. So you cannot go back to the Romans and tell them that we didn't accept it. Again, Rabbi Zechariah said no. Not that he's not deserving of death. He was a Malshin. He was a Redif. He was a threat to the entire nation. Now, but people again will learn bad things from it, because they will say that anybody who makes an injury in such an animal is guilty of the capital punishment. Is liable for the capital punishment. Now here he was being a Zohir, a Machmir. There was a Zihirish Yisera. It was an extra dimension of Zihiris of Chumara.
But he meant well. But not only he meant well, he was capable. He was from the leaders of the generation. What does the Gemara say on him? Eventually, they found out, the Romans, that they couldn't accept it. And that brought the whole Churban, the whole destruction. What does the Gemara say on it? The Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, an v'sanusei shel b'zchaya, the extra dimension of carefulness of Rabbi Zechariah, Hechribo es beiseinu, destroyed our beis hamikdash, sorfa es hecholenu, burnt our hechol our beis hamikdash, vihiglasnu bein levena umais, dispersed us amongst the nations. Hare lecho she'en lodun bechassidus amaisa ba'asher hushom levad. The Mesidus Yishonim says. From here you see that you can't just look at this and say this is the Hasidus. Achzorich livna is keve chay lechol atzdodim sheyochol seichel adam lirais. You have to go into it with such depth to see all of the far-reaching ramifications that can come from this act of yours, until you come to a conclusion: what is the proper way? What is the proper thing to do? To do or not to do it? This was such a case. Maybe you'll say, all right, but this has to do with people who are on top, who are making decisions for the nations. But what does this have to do with us? Now, this creeps into every everyday life. Mesillas Yeshayahu brings another case. He brings a case where Reb Tarfin was walking. This is from the Gemara in Brochas. This is the Gemara in Brochas, Daf Yud Aleph, Seif Amud Beis. This is a Yud Seif Amud Beis and Yud Aleph Seif Amud Aleph. Reb Tarfin was walking on the way. He was traveling and came to evening, time to say the Shema. Beis Hillel says that you can say the Shema either standing up or laying down. Reb Shammai says no. In the evening, since it says b'shoch b'cho, when you lay down, you must lay down for it. So he said, look, let me lay down. Let me lay down, and then I will fulfill. It'll be mitzvah min amufka, it'll be better. It'll be a proper Krishna, not only according to Beis Hillel, but even according to Beis Shammai. He was on the road, so he pulled off the side of the road, sat down on the road to say the Krishna, to fulfill the Hidur, the Mahadrin, and gunmen jumped him. He came back to the Beis HaMedrash, and he said, you know, I'm lucky I'm alive. He says, I'm lucky I'm alive. And he told them all in the Beis HaMedrash what happened. Maybe he felt very good about himself, because in order to fulfill the mitzvah at its maximum, he even almost gave his life for it. What did they tell him? They said, Omru lei, kadai ha'yisa lachov bi'atzmecha. You deserved death, and they should have killed you. It was because of the compassion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they didn't kill you, because you were deserving of death. Shavalta al divrei Beis Hillel, because you transgressed the words of Beis Hillel. So the Mesillas Yeshayahu explains what marash, or what's going on. He says, because what can be more important than Shalom b'Yisrael? And there was raging a great dissension and a great separation in Klal Yisrael between the Talmidim of Beis Hillel and the Talmidim of Beis Shammai, not because of Hillel and Shammai. Morris says there was never any machlekes between Hillel and Shammai that became personal. Says Le Nisrabu Machlegis Beis Hillel Beis Shammai Atche Yisrabu Talmidim Shleishim Shukol Tzochei Shleishim Shukol Tzochei. The Machlegis came only when they their Talmidim in the later generations would not study sufficiently, and they were only half-baked. That's what caused the Machlekes. But there was raging this Machlekes. And the Chachomim were trying to unite Klal Yisrael, because there could be no greater Avera than Machlekes b'Yisrael. And that's why with Golus. The whole Mashiach, it says, why does Eliyahu come when he comes? Lase Shalom b'Yisrael. The Rambam brings that in the time of the Sanhedrin Agdola and Leinim Tze Machlekes b'Yisrael, there'll never be two ways how to do anything. Because everything will be brought to the Sanhedrins, to the lower courts, and then to the higher courts. It'll be resolved, and it's resolved for Kol Yisrael. And it's not resolved in the higher courts, it'll eventually go to the Sanhedrin. And if they can't resolve it, they'll take a vote on it. And the majority will prevail. And that halacha will be for all of Yisrael. And what will be if a person will say, no, I want to do differently, I don't accept it? It's not they won't, it's not they'll put him in cheirum. He's chai misha, liable of death penalty, capital punishment. That's zokein mamre. If he's a chochem that's capable, it's a chochem, and he wants to differ with the majority opinion of the Sanhedrin in Agdola, he's liable of the death penalty. So the Rambam says there can't be two ways in Israel. This was the greatness of Israel. Now, what the Parfen was doing, the Mesillas Yeshorim says, is that he was fostering this Machlekes b'Yisrael. Because by him trying to fulfill also like Beis Shammai, he was adding prestige and support to those who held not like Beis Hillel. And it was already established that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Therefore they told him, will you think that you are fulfilling the mitzvah in a better fashion? You are bringing Machlekes in Israel, and you should have been killed. Kodesh Baruch Hu spared you. Now, in general, the Chazal tell us there's nothing that's of greater hatred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than Machlekes. And there's no greater brocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in all of his brochas than Shalom. And Machlekes brings Loshon Hara, and it brings Kino, and all of the Dvorim Aroim. And the Chofetz Chaim writes that when there's Machlekes and Loshon Hara, one can transgress 17 negative commandments, 14 positive commandments, and 3 curses. We're talking here a total of 31 mitzvahs min HaTorah besides 3 curses. And it's a very important Chazal. There's a very important Chazal in Zeis HaBrocha. In Zeis HaBrocha, Perek Lamed Gimel, Posek Yud Ches, Vilizvulun Omar, Tuzvulun Meisha said, Smach Zvulun Betzeisecha, rejoice Zvulun when you go out, V'yisocher Be'alecha, and Yisocher in your tents. Zvulun were merchants, and their territory was next to the sea, and they also sailed the sea. They were international businessmen and traders, and they made a lot of money, and half of their wealth they gave to Yisocher, who were the Bali Bino, who were geniuses. So Yisocher could sit and learn, and Yisocher would give them half of their Torah. They were the two brothers. So Maisha said, Smach Zvulun Betzeisecha, Zvulun, rejoice when you go out, and Yisocher in your tents of Torah. because Zvulun will have that same simcha as Yisochar in the tents of Torah. Then it states, Amim ha yikro'u shom yizbechu zivchei tzedek. They will call nations to the mountain, and there they will bring sacrifices of righteousness. What does that mean? They will call nations to the mountain, and there these nations will bring sacrifices of righteousness. What does this mean? So Rashi brings a very important chazal. It says as follows, Al yedei pakamatshe shel Zvulun, because Zvulun were great businessmen, Tagrei umas ha'elam boim el artsoi, the merchants of the world will come. The Chinese will come, and the Japanese will come, and the Indians will come, and the Europeans will come, and they'll come to Zvulun's land to do business with them, because they'll be such good businessmen. Uhuaim el arasfar, and their land is by the border of the sea. Behem aimrim, and they will say, Ha'il v'nitzta'arnu ad kam, since we've come all this way to this land, Nelech ad Yushalayim, let us go to Yushalayim, to the holy city. There was someone in a hotel business in Eretz Yisrael. He told me there's only one city in the world that's called the holy city. Everyone calls it the holy city. They said, we've heard so much about Yerushalayim, and we've come this far to your land. Let us go visit this holy city, Yerushalayim. Let us see what it is. We'll see you. Who is the God of this nation? What is it all about? And what are their deeds? That's what it means. Amim ha yikoru. That they will call nations, they will bring nations to the har, to the mountain of Hashem. Now it states, Vehem Raim, and they will come there, and they see, Kol Yisrael Evdim Eleikai Echot. The whole nation serves one God in one place. You don't have this. It's not, by the base of English, it's not that everybody goes to the Shtiblach, that everybody goes to his own shul. There's only one place you can bring a sacrifice, and that's only the Beis HaMikdash, and that's only in Yerushalayim, no matter where you live, which you live in the north of Eretz Yisrael, or the south of Eretz Yisrael, or any part of the world. And they see under a golem the whole nation comes to one place, and they all do exactly the same. The Eichli Michael Echot, and they all eat the same food. Lefisha Aku, because by the idolaters, Elokus shall zeh like Elokus shall zeh. This one worships Buddha, and this one will worship another god, and this one will worship Muhammad, Islam, Yoshka, whatever it is. And Machola shall zeh like Machola shall zeh. And this one will eat that food and not another food, and another one will eat that and not this. And they come and they say, Israel, all doing the same to one God in one place, all Jews in the whole world. Jews live in France, they got to come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring their korbanos. They live in America, they have to come to the Har Hashem. And they're all eating the same food. And they'll say, V'heim aimrim ein umak sheira kazu. There's no nation so wonderful like this nation, umis gayorim shom, and they'll be magayar, they'll convert, and that's what it says. Shenema shom yizbechu zivchei tzedek, because of Zvulun. This is the brocha, the prophecy that Moshe said. Because of Zvulun, amim ha yikrush, nations they will call to the Har Hashem. Shom, and there, Yizbechu Zivchei Tzedek, there they will bring sacrifices of righteousness, because they will be Magayah, and they'll remain there. Now that's the Achdus, that's the unity of Klal Yisrael that Yaakov Avinu established, and that is so precious to us. And here, this is what Reb Tarfon was undermining. I mean, he didn't mean to. He was from the Gdelia Aderis, but even HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges his tzaddikim by the Chut HaSara. This is why by all Gedalim, they had very difficult lives on every decision they had to make. They struggled and struggled. Because they knew all of this and 100 times more. There's a case with the Chofetz Chaim that's written. It's written in the Sefer of the Chofetz Chaim, of the Sefer of the Kisvei Chofetz Chaim. It's written by a Rav who was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, whose son showed me this, where it's written. Where, when the Chofetz Chaim was old, and the big machlekes started to break out in his yeshiva, it actually had to do with the Musa movement. And there was a big faction there that didn't want the Mashgiach, because he was introducing the Musa movement. And it started to rumble. And they kept it for a long time away from the Chofetz Chaim. But when he found out about it, so the factions all started coming to him, each one trying to get the Chofetz Chaim to support their side. The Chofetz Chaim says, he says, you think you're going to schlep me, draw me into a machlekes? Machlekes, a loshon hara. Shivim yeshivas, I'll let 70 yeshivas be destroyed. Because they told him, the yeshiva's at risk, what's going on here? It was a major machlekes, a major dispute. He says, I'll let 70 yeshivas go under before I will allow myself to be drawn into a machlekes. Into machlekes and loshon hara. This is what the Chofetz Chaim said. Now, there was a time when this, we're speaking here of the unity. There was a time when Rabbi Kveger, they write the story. Kveger, he also was known as a chosid. They referred to him as a chosid. Not that he wanted to be called that. He was traveling and he was coming through a city. And as he came through a particular city, the Rav was going to give a shiur that day. So he was invited to the shiur. As the Rav was saying the shiur, people were asking kashas, questions and so on, arguments. So he asked the Rav a kasha. So the Rav gave an answer. All right, accepted it. After the shiur, some of his talmidim asked him, the answer he gave you was not a good answer. It was not a good answer at all. Why were you silent? He said, look. He says, I'm leaving this city, so my prestige means nothing here. The Rav is the Rav of the city. He has to hold the unity of the city together. If in any way what I say is a reflection on his ability, on his greatness, it can be a reflection on his authority and his prestige. Therefore, I didn't push it any further. Now you know why he was called a chosid. He was more concerned about the name of the Rav and the unity of the city than his own name. This is what the East Gedalim did in order to preserve unity and Sholem. And this is what I had always seen when I was in yeshivas and when I associated with all of the previous Gedalim. Now take a look at what goes on in our time. For a heder kol shuvah, for a little heder, be it in, or a little chumrah, be it in milk or in a shkita, or in Chodesh, whatever it might be. They're prepared. People are prepared. The so-called Mahadri, we're talking about. So-called, those that want to do more. What are they prepared for? Not only to make machlekes, but to tear cities apart. Cities have been destroyed by this strife. To splinter cities, to splinter the unity of cities. And in it, in order to fulfill a little, it's debatable if it's a hidor. That's the first thing, it's debatable. That's the first thing. I'm not going to go into that, but that's the first thing. But assuming it is, let's say even assume it's more than that. The Gemara says that for a mitzvah essay min ha-Torah, you set it aside for the purpose of shalom. That's what the Gemara says. That's what's baskin. It's baskin in Shulchan Aruch. If the fulfillment of a mitzvah's essay will create machlekes, you set aside the mitzvah's essay. This was brought in the Paiskim in a number of cases. The Gong brings it. Here we're talking, not even a, it's a chumras hayochid, prepared to make machlekes with all the Lashon Hara. The Chofetz Chaim said he's prepared to let 70 yeshivas go down. There was nobody that wanted yeshivas more than the Chofetz Chaim. 17 negative commandments and 14 positive commandments. One can transgress with Lashon Hara. The Chofetz Chaim writes that with Lashon Hara you're aver almost every mitzvah in the Torah bein Adam lechaverei. And the Gaon writes, he says, Mali lahayrech be'oven zeh. Why is it necessary for me to elaborate on this isur? Shehi ha'oven ha'chamura b'chol ha'teirakula. Where do you find the more serious aveira b'chol ha'teirakula? And then he writes, I'll call dibor v'dibor. And every word of Lashon Hara, he starts to write the yisuri gehenim that a person will go through when he's giving musa to his b'nei bayis, his household. And here, but this is people that are coming to be mahavir. These are chassidim, the those that want to do more, and they're prepared for all of this. We once had a case in a city where I was, where there was a faction that had complaints against the Rav. They didn't like his standard in the abattoirs, and they wanted to raise the standard. And again, there was a whole strife because the Rav didn't want to raise the standard. Many of the standards he held wasn't necessary, and others that even if he would agree would be necessary, he held it wasn't required, and therefore it would be costly. And if it's costly, it would be perhaps you people are willing to pay for it, but what about others? It could cause others to stop buying kosher. At any rate, there was a machlekes. And it was creeping into the chinuch, the base chinuch, the day school. Creeping into the day school, and the kids would come and they would say, my father says you shouldn't eat this meat, and this one says, no, you could. I was teaching in that school. The principal of the school was a telzer. He says he's going to write to the gifter as far as advice. What stand should the school take? Because the kids want to know. They say their father says no, and his father says yes, and they think so forth. They wrote to the gifter. The gifter writes back. He says he doesn't understand what the questions are. If an individual wants to be machmer al atzmai, you're obligated to teach it in the school. Someone wants to take upon himself a certain chumra, so take it on. But himself, what's it got to do with others? And he's not allowed to do it publicly because he'll undermine the authority of the Rav, he wrote. Bechol, and whoever will do this publicly, asirin liten asadin, in the next world they'll have to stand trial for it. Bring machlekes in a city and undermine the jurisdiction and authority of a Rav, he says it's called totally destroying Klal Yisrael. This is what he wrote. This took place in the 70s. This is 30 years ago yet. But he said, what are you asking? Chumras ayochid, because a yochid wants, an individual wants to be machmer, you're going to go teach it in the school. This was the way of all of the Gedali Israel. This is what the Gemara tells us in Masechta Seita. The Gemara says, it's a Mishnah. It states, there's what is known not as a hedjet, but a chosid shaita. What is a chosid shaita? A chosid shaita means a chosid who's a shaita. A shaita is a lunatic. What's a chosid shaita? Chosid means someone who's a saint. And is a lunatic. So Gemara asked the question. This is in the Mishnah. The Gemara and Chof Aleph Omed Beis. I was looking for this Gemara this afternoon. I must thank Aaron Ziegler for finding it for me. The Gemara and Chof Aleph Omed Beis says, Hechi Dami Chosid Shaita. What is a Chosid that's a lunatic? Kigain de Kotova Itzatso Benara. There's a woman that, I don't know if she was swimming or bathing in the river. And all of a sudden she shouts for help. She's drowning. Vomar, and this person says, I can't help you, sorry. Lav erechare listakulibe. Ba'atsula. Because it's not proper that I should come in and save you. You're not dressed properly. I'm going to have to let you drown. This is chosid shaita. In other words, a hedjet is just a fool, but a shaita can be dangerous, like we see from these other cases. But this was even by Gedali Israel. They made the chas v'sholom, they weren't shaitim. But the Medrash calls the kal v'chemer of sholom melech kal v'chemer shel shtus, because of the damage it could do, of the ramifications. Taisvis brings another case. He says, the Yishalmi says another case. Rotinaik mivavea benor. A child is caught in the waters of the river. And a person is walking by, and he's in his talis and tefillin. So what does he do? What would you do in a case like that? Take off your talis and tefillin and you jump in. That's a chosid shaita. That's a lunatic. He says, Omar l'ksheech leitz tefillin atzileno. He says, let me take off my tefillin and I'll save you. You can't jump into the water with tefillin, chas v'sholom. Ad kishulchei leitz tefillin, by the time he gets off his tefillin, haitzizeh es nafshoi. The child has lost his life. This is a chosid shaita. This is a chosid that's a lunatic. Maybe you'll say that's only if the child lost his life, but if you were able to take off your tefillin and save the child at the same time, it's better. Now, how do you know? How do you know? That's why whenever it comes to pikuach nefesh, we'll see in a minute, the halach is you don't ask questions. Immediately, you go to save the life. Now, and these things are very, very common. This is not only by those of the leaders of the generation that have to make the decisions for the nation. They have the headaches. This is why the Gedalim go around with such a heavy load on them. And why their beards get so white. They have the headaches. They know what those ramifications can be, and they know what the personal ramifications can be for themselves if they dare make a slip. But this is in everyday life. For example, if a person does something which is not required, like we're speaking about, more than the mitzvah, but through this he causes a damage to himself, or he causes sickness to himself. Not only wasn't Mahadir, he was Mavatl a mitzvah's essay. He destroyed a mitzvah of caring for oneself. But through that, if he gets sick, how many mitzvahs does he have to destroy? How many mitzvahs does he have to let go? If he gets sick, and he ends up sick in bed, he can't daven. He can't say Krishna if he ends up in the hospital. dozens of mitzvahs he can't fulfill, all because he was doing something which would the Torah say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I didn't ask you to do it. I told you exactly what I wanted. What happens if Chas V'Sholem he causes death to himself? Now, you'll say, well, that's not common. It is common because there are huge simonim and Shulchan Aruch on this. For example, a person is not well in the Shabbos, and he feels he's not well, he needs a doctor. And he says, look, it's Shabbos, I'll wait till after Shabbos. I don't want to be Machal Shabbos. And by the time Shabbos goes, and he calls the doctor, or he goes to the hospital, he dies. You know what it states? Areza chai v'nafshoi. It states that that person is guilty, liable of the death penalty. And he'll have to face that in the next world. Or, for example, these are common all of the time. You have someone on Yom Kippur, and he feels that he has to eat. But chas v'sholem, I'm not going to eat on Yom Kippur. He feels faint. He knows he has to eat, but no, let me wait. It's only a couple hours. Heaven forbid, if he dies, it says, Harezem ischai benafshoi. He's guilty of the death penalty. He has killed himself. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not require him to kill himself. The times he's required, but not here. This would be a chosid shaita. Heaven forbid if it's another person's life. Someone has to go to the hospital on Shabbos and you tell them, I'll take you first thing after Shabbos. There's a famous story with Reb Chaim Vriska. That Reb Chaim Vriska, he was Reb Yeshe Ber, his grandson, was sick with, they thought it was strep throat or something like that. And it was Shabbos. And the doctor came. And they went into the bedroom, and it was only mildly lit. So the doctor looked at his throat, and Ramesha, his father, asked him, do you need a light? He says, no, I have enough light. Reb Chaim became angry and turned on the light. He says, my son is an Amoritz. So he said, This was Maisim Bechol Yom. This was commonplace, these things, amongst the previous generations. This business, they tell you, well, look, you got to do this, you got to do this. Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid. In halacha it's brought, whatever you could do through a goy, you should. But if chas v'sholem, that's going to take more time, you have to do it immediately if there's a danger. We're speaking where there's a danger. And it states, Arav, heaven forbid. It says, Anishal alzeh meguna. It says, if Arav is asked by someone, may I eat because I don't feel good today? It's Yom Kippur. It says, the Rav is meguna. The Rav is despicable because he didn't teach the people properly. That if they feel that their life is in danger, they don't ask questions. They must go immediately and do what is necessary. This is the same when you have a woman who gave birth, or pregnancy, or whatever it is. We're not saying that everyone can eat. We're saying b'mokum sakona, where there is a threat of life, then you don't ask questions. It's the same thing when it comes to bris milah. The Gemara says, heaven forbid, you should be at all lenient when it comes to circumcising a child on the eighth day, if there's even a shadow of a doubt that there might be illness. He wants it because the milah you'll fulfill later, but a life you cannot return. Heaven forbid, says, you should be lenient on sakonas nefoshes, on danger. These are such cases. There's other many, many cases I'll mention a few. I don't think we'll have time to mention them all, but it goes on and on. It affects everybody's life every day. There was a case once in the yeshiva, I mentioned it, where we got in a new cook, a Jewish woman, and there was a faction that were kind of extreme. The doctor came to mitzvahs, and they weren't satisfied with the standard of kashrus. Now, there was nothing really serious there. But yeshiva, you need someone that is mahadrim mina mahadrim. And they went to this one and that one. So to push forth their case, they went to Rav Gifter. And the Rav Gifter threw them out. This woman was an almona, a widow. And he said, Reidev, an almona mi parnosa, because of your chumrah shall hevel. Because of your chumrah, you're prepared to cause an almona to lose her livelihood. And he shouted, Ge arayish from damit. He says, go out of here. They came out and they said, we don't know what he's talking about. Here we're talking about kashrus in East Timur. You don't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what you're talking about. Because if you learn over the halachos of what it means to harm an almona, you will be so scared you won't sleep tonight. Because it states explicitly in the Torah, forget about the Gemaras, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, whoever afflicts an almona or an orphan, Harakti eschem bechorev, I will kill them with a sword. And their wives will be almonas, and their children will be orphans. This was the way of the Gedalim. They write a story on Rabbi Chaim Eiser that they were having an important meeting of Rabbonim in his flat, Rav Vilna. And a woman came in, an almona, and she needed some stokah for a certain thing. She needed stokah. He was in charge. He used to give out a lot of stokahs. So he gave her something, and she wanted more. And he says, look, I can't give you any more. But she was an option. She kept persisting and persisting. And he said, I can't. This is what's been allocated, and this is the best I can do. Maybe he gave her more, but he says, I can't. And she kept persisting. And meanwhile, they were having a meeting there, the Rabbonim of Vilna, and made very important decisions, and she was becoming very disruptive. Besides the fact that they didn't like the way, what about the Kovet of Ruchai Meza? So finally, one Rav lost his patience. And he got up and he said, excuse me, Mrs. And he was going to give it to her. And Ruchai Meza started to cry. Almona leisanum. He started to say over the pasuk to him. This pasuk of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, if anybody dares raise his voice to a widow or to the broken people. This was the way of the Yodei Torah, not of the Amaratzim. So here, for a few Hidurim, they're prepared to cause anyone to lose a livelihood. This is Avera Atzuma, it's an enormous Avera, but here not one yet. Many simple cases, there's a simple case where I was at a bris milah with Rav Gifter. And it was in the lounge of a person, some, and they gave him the cup of wine to make the brochas on the bris milah. And he wouldn't take the cup of wine. Why? He said, bring a plate for the cup of wine, because the wine was filled to the top. So it's very likely while he held it, it could spill. He says, Mach jenem karpet schmutzig. You want me to damage someone else's carpet? Now here you bring someone a cup of wine that's filled to the top. Why do you fill it to the top? What do you have to fill it to the top for? Mitzvah mina mucher. It's a bigger mitzvah. That's not what the Gemara says. Gemara says, "Areitza lahavim chosid." It doesn't say if you want to be a chosid, you should fill the cup to the top. It says if you want to be a chosid, the first thing it says is to be zari b'mili the nezikin. Be careful how you treat other people's properties. The gifter wanted to be a chosid. He didn't want the cup filled to the top. He wouldn't take the cup until he put something under it. At a chuppah, I'm always careful never to fill the cup to the top. Never. Leave a lot of space. Because you got a narrow place to work in. You have the families there and the chosen and kala. A lot of times there's candles there. Everybody's dressed in his best. The cup of wines are being passed around. If they fill to the top, what happens if you spill some wine on someone's new suit? Or on the mother of the kala's or the baba's new gown? Or on the kala's gown? That's mitzvah min amuvchar. I was at a chuppah once and I was with another rav. And I purposely left a big margin and he filled it up to the top. He wanted to be a chosid. But I couldn't argue with him, and I didn't want to argue with him under the chuppah. But this is what the Gemara tells us. Agav, if you look in halacha, the halacha doesn't require you to fill it to the top. There's when it comes to embarrassing someone, this again is talking where with simple acts where you might think for the ignorant, but unfortunately it's not only, I mean, where someone who is ignorant might think that he's doing right and he's doing best, he can lose his chelak in Eilam Abba. The Gemara says that if you rebuke someone and you do it in a way where you publicly embarrass him, it's a great chet. If you do it in a corner where nobody hears, nobody sees, but where there's public embarrassment, it's a great chet. Now what kind of chet is it? What kind of sin is it? Tesfos in Masechta Seita, he holds that on this sin you might have to give your life on Yehorek Val Yavor rather than to transgress it. Because the Gemara says, it learns from Talmud and Yehuda, it's better to she was prepared to throw herself in a furnace of fire rather than to publicly embarrass and humiliate Yehuda. So we're talking here of the Hamuras of Yehorek Val Yavor. I remember a shmooze and tells fire and brimstone from a mortal, the old Rosh Hashiva, the mortal cats. I forgot he was citing three cases. And this type of shmooze. But here they were confronted with new things because of the Americans. But he cited three cases. I don't remember what they were, I only remember once. He says he heard of a case where someone is making kiddush, and a woman is sitting at the table, and evidently she wasn't dressed properly, or she maybe didn't have her hair covered. She says, what did he do? He turned around with his back towards her, and that's how he made kiddush. He says, maybe you'll ask me, well, what should you do? He says, I'm not here tonight to tell you what should you do. I'm here to tell you that's not what you do. You are mavayish someone berabim, ve'ein lechelik la'elam habo. You publicly embarrass someone, and the person can lose his chelik in the world to come over that. I was at a chuppah with Rabbi Loy, and there was a rav that came in from Eretz Yisrael. He was Masada Kedushin. So he takes the cup and he turns around from back to the kala and makes the brochas. Now, because I remembered that story, I knew what he had in mind. Rabbi Loy asked me, why did he turn around? I says, "Why, you never saw that?" "No, never saw it in his life." Rabbi Eloy saw thousands and thousands of klipas. Never saw that. There was another case. A Talmud, Avraham Futner told me this. Futner, one of the great Rosh Hashimas that came to America. A group of Talmidim were sitting around the table with Rav Futner, and cake was served. So everybody took cake, one person didn't take cake. So Rav Futner asked him, "Es nicht kein cake? You don't eat cake?" He says, "Ich bin machmer, ich bin mahader," he said. "From the bakery, es nicht cake. I'm mahader, from this bakery, I don't eat cake." Rav Futner said in Yiddish, "I would suggest besser mahader sein auf loshen hara. I would suggest that if you want to be a machmer, be machmer better on loshen hara." What does he mean? Because that statement caused that bakery to lose money, because now people see there's a question on the kashrus of that bakery. Because I'll say that when you cause someone to another Jew to lose money, that's not only an aveira atzuma, but that's from the dvorim ha-ma'akvim es ha-tshuva. It's very difficult to do tshuva from it, because you don't know how much money was lost or how much money will be lost. And the Rambam writes on such things that people won't do tshuva because they don't even think they're doing anything wrong. That's what Rav Futner told me. You want to be mahade, you want to be a chosid, then eat it. It's like the Masilei Shishorim says. Many times the chasidus is to eat it, not to eat it. Because you put in a reflection, a bad reflection on the bakery. We just had this debacle that took place about the sheitlach. Came from India, didn't come from India, the Avedis order, all of that. I'm not going to go into it, but I just want to bring out one point. It was handled in a manner which such confusion came out that I don't know if it ever got sorted out. Those that said it was actual Avedis order, those that said it could have been Avedis order, those that said it's at least a mili da chasidus, that's at least a hidur, and those that said it was nonsense. And such confusion came out. Did anyone take into consideration the possible millions of dollars of losses that this confusion and this talk was causing other Jews? Because in Israel and New York, even here, but Israel and New York, sheitlach are big business. And when you're talking of human hair sheitlach, you're talking $5,000 and $10,000 US. And companies invest millions in their stock. And once this talk got out, you had hundreds of thousands of Jews that were afraid to buy. There's a loss in stock. Meanwhile, anyone who has learned Shulchan Aruch will see what the Peskim do to save a Jew a pruta, where they go to all extents to be mater isurin in order not to cause a Jew another loss, especially if it's a hefsin merubah, if it's a sizable loss. Was that taken into cheshbon? That maybe, if there is a possibility of a problem, I mean, could you imagine in the time of the Sanhedrin, would come out that? That's what the Rambam's talking about. Would come out as a possibility, it might be Aveda Zora, it might be possible Aveda Zora, it might be a chumur of Aveda Zora, might be a heder, might be nothing. Well, then you don't say anything until you decided what it's going to be. And then you got 16 other factions. This is the world that we're living in today, and it's in the newspapers. This was spread over in the newspapers, it was on the newspapers and the internets all over the world. You have the same thing we have when it comes, people take on chumras on the Chagim. Rav Sheinberg, Rav Pinchas Sheinberg, one of the great Gedolim of our times, he wrote on it. He says people take on enormous hidurim and chumras, which are totally, totally not necessary. And even if they're not necessary, they're above the requirements of the halacha. If there's no cost, okay, but the cost is enormous. What is the cost? The cost is many women get sick because they're adding on 50, 60, 70% work for Pesach, more than the Torah actually required. Many people, because of that, are a mavatl. They are not able to fulfill the actual mitzvahs that the Torah did require. It's like when Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you're doing something I never required, and what I did require, you're not doing. Because they're too knocked out to enjoy Pesach, v'shamachta b'chagecha is a positive commandment in the Torah. They're too knocked out to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, to speak about the going out of Egypt, or to feel the going out of Egypt, the liberation from Egypt. And even worse, they learn to hate Pesach. A rov in this city told me, I asked him, how was Pesach? He says, thank God it's over. And this was not because of his rabbinical duties. This was because of all the chumras of the household. And that's one of the tochachos, that was one of the curses that is in Eicho. That we will come to hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yomim Tovim. Sheinberg wrote all kind of letters on this. Besides the fact that how many women can get sick, or even men. And then what about all of the money that's spent, which might not be necessary? The same thing with Sukkos. Sukkos, the Mishnah Berurah writes, he says, someone who sits in the sukkah in the rain or in severe cold, or sleeps in a sukkah in severe cold, he says he thinks he's doing mitzvah. Not only is he not doing mitzvah, he's doing aveira. Mishnah Berurah writes in his Bir Halacha. What kind of aveira? He's mitztayer himself. He's causing suffering to himself. And that's a Beitel Mitzvah's essay. He's transgressing the positive commandment in our Torah, v'samachta v'chagecha, that you're supposed to enjoy the yontif. It goes further. The ramifications are further. Mesillas Yesharim writes, he says, what happens if you have a friend or a family, and this, unfortunately, this is Maisim B'chol Yom, and he's not doing even the main mitzvah that he's supposed to do, the real mitzvah, forget about the Iturim. So you're going to rebuke him. And you do it very carefully, you do it in a proper place, you do it privately. But he's not going to listen to you. And let's say that he's not going to listen to you. And because you push him, he's misparet yosef. He becomes a daf dignet. And bedafke, he won't do it. He'll do worse. He says, you know, Mesillas Yesharim writes this. He says, you know, you have caused another Jew to be hated, to sin. Because had you told him nothing, at least he wouldn't have done more of Haveiros. But because you went and told him this, you tell him, don't eat in a Trefa restaurant. And he's tired, sick and tired of you bugging him. And he says, because you told me that, I'm the daf can eat more of him. All right, terrible thing he's doing. He's doing Haveiros, but you caused him to do the Haveira. if you cause him to do the Avera, that's your Avera. You caused another Jew to sin, to do an Avera. You gave him Mater Chaverai min derech hatov lederech hara. And he says, just like the Chazal warned us against this, Kishem shemitzvah leima dover hanishma, kach mitzvah shalei lama dover shein hanishma. Just like it's a mitzvah to tell someone what to do and he'll listen to you, so is a mitzvah to keep quiet from telling him what to do when you know that he won't listen to you. Another case though, further, let's say he'll listen to you, but you'll try to push on him chumras and hidurim, like is very common today. You have no permission to do that. Who granted you permission? Chumras hayochid. If you want to take on something beyond the halacha, that's your prerogative. Where can you push it on someone else? If it's going to cost him money, let's say he's going to buy this matzah, and you tell him, look, this matzah is kosher, but there's a better matzah. We'll import a matzah. It's better. It's going to cost more. Or whatever it might be. You'll have to give din and cheshbon on that. Because you caused the Jew to spend money where he didn't have to. Further, if you start to push chumras on other people, you're making avedas Hashem more heavier and difficult for them. And that's very serious. Because besides the fact, what right do you have to cause people to labor more than is necessary? But it can become too heavy. And they can decide, it's too much for me, I don't want this Yiddishkeit. Now this is things that happen all of the time, but Chazal wrote about this in the Gemaras and the Mishnayos thousands of years ago. There were many takonas that they want to do because it would become too heavy on the people and then they would drop everything. And when it comes, and certainly in our generation, where the majority of the generation are not even shemitah or mitzvahs, so it's very, very easy for someone to slide away. And what about if they're balei tshuva, like so much are today? There are all, we gave a shir on this, there are all kind of gemaras and precedents where for balei tshuva, the Chazal made special leniencies in halacha. They even broke halachas in order to make it easier for the balei tshuva. I heard young girls that come from overseas where they tell them that they're getting married, they have to put on a shetel, they must wear their shetel or they must cover their hair even alone in the house so the walls of the house shouldn't see their hair. Now, what they're saying has a basis. Has a basis. It's a Zohar HaKodesh. And the Gemara praised the Tanoim, praised the woman that didn't even let the walls of her heart, of the house see her hair. But that's not halacha. What do? You teach young woman Zohar HaKodesh, Kabbalah, or praise. This was once mentioned in my time. This was once mentioned to the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva Reb Chaim Stein. He both scorned and laughed at the same time. That was his response. What Zohar HaKodesh you telling the woman to do? Kabbalah. This was brought after Moshe Feinstein. He writes, Afilu hatanoim lo hayozir zohar b'zeh. Even the rabbis of the Mishnah, their wives were not careful in this. Because if they were, if everybody did it, so what are they praising this woman for? They were the ones that was praising this woman. The Chazal tell us that the generation of the Mishnah, if they were like angels, we are like men. If they were like men, we are like donkeys. To donkeys, you come and you teach Zayah HaKadosh. And especially, what right do you have to make difficulties for people to keep mitzvahs? It was always the derech of the Chazal and all of the previous generations to make it as easy as possible for people to keep mitzvahs. There's further, and this is the Mesillas Yesharim brings, what happens if a person wants to do a hidur, he wants to do something which the deen, more than the deen requires, and it's a good hidur. It's a good hidur, and nothing bad will come from it. He's a chacham, and he knows what he's doing, it won't have bad ramifications. But he does it in public, by other people. And when they see him doing that, they will laugh at it, or they will speak about it. Look what so-and-so does. And they will speak negatively about it. You know what he writes on that? You've committed an aveira. Yeah. From this you see why the previous generations went with so much caution when it went by hidurim. And you see how far our generation has sunk from the light of Torah. He says, if you do a hidur, a chumrah, and you're a chochem, and there are no bad ramifications coming from it, like we mentioned before, it's not a chosid shaita, but you will do it in the presence of people that will not appreciate it. They will make a remark, look how frum he is, or look how fanatic he is, whatever it might be. He says, you have done an aveira. What kind of aveira did I do? They did the aveira, not me. No, he says, you did the aveira. Because when they make such a remark, they're doing an aveira, but you caused it. And you will have to pay for it. Hear what he says? You will have to pay for it. And he says, Miteicha, for that reason, afilu gedele chasidim, even the real chasidim, were meneya. They refused to conduct themselves with mili de chasidis in the presence of other people. Only in their own homes did they do it. Only in their own homes. And that's what it states, v'atznei alecha sima shem alekecho. You should walk in confidentiality with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was always the way. Moshe Feinstein writes on himself. And then the Gemara brings another reason also. It says that even if they won't laugh at you, but if they think that you're Ki Yehoda, if they think that you're doing it to show that you're better than other people, that's also an aveira. Ramesh Feinstein writes on himself. He says there was a certain whiskey which he wouldn't drink, the Shailan Kashrus. And he said, according to the letter of the law, it's kosher. But Roy Lahachmir, there are many Rishonim that hold it's not. It's best not to drink it. But he says when he's in shul and they make a lachaim and they offer him some, he says he always takes and drinks a little. He doesn't want to practice this chumrah by other people. It was many times, there was a time I asked Rav Gifter on a certain thing, if you could do this, and he says, for sure. Later on, his children told me he doesn't do it. He had a chumrah, but you never knew it. He did it in the house, not in other people, but not in presence of other people, and he would tell people the halacha, not the chumrah. This was the way of the Hasidim. Many of the things that we mentioned here, they're not light aveiras. The Rambam writes on many of these aveiras from many different perspectives. They're from the Dvorim HaMa'akvin HaSatshuva, that a person will not be able to do tshuva on them. He brings, if you cause people to do an aveira, if you cause people to laugh at you,
if you cause people to go away from Yiddishkeit. In Perek Dalet of Hilchus Tshuva, if you look there, he writes on many of these things, it's very difficult to do tshuva, or sometimes the aveira is so great, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't give you the opportunity to do tshuva, or many times the person won't think of doing tshuva. Now here we're talking on such enormous aveiros, and we have a situation where every individual of the populace runs after chumras. There's another important principle when it comes to Hasidus, and this Rabbi Yisrael Salanter always said. He says someone who wants to be a chassid, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was a great chassid. Someone who wants to be a chassid, the first thing he has to know is he's got to be a chassid on his own cheshbon, not on the cheshbon of someone else. He's got to be a chassid when it comes to his own money and his own labor, not because of someone else's money and someone else's labor. This is what he would always say. Mishnah Berurah, an example the Mishnah Berurah brings. This is in a very important Mishnah Berurah. Not so much the actual halacha, but the principle. In Siman Reish Ein Aleph, Hilchos Shabbos, Dinei Kiddush Al Hayayin, the Mechaber brings Tishyove Lebeisa Yemaya Lechol Miyad. When you come home Friday night, you should make Kiddush and eat immediately. Mishnah Berurah explains why. Because the halacha is you have to make Kiddush when the beginning of Shabbos comes in. And once you make Kiddush, then you have to eat, because Kiddush has to be together with eating. So therefore, when you come home, you must make Kiddush right away. You should not tarry, and eat right away. Then he asks the question, what happens if somebody comes home from shul and he's not hungry? And if he makes Kiddush right away, he's going to have to eat right away, and he's not hungry. And there's a halacha in Arbe Psochim, we've said a shir on it, Shana Rabba, that it's a mitzvah mina muvchar. It's a hidur mitzvah to have a good appetite for Suda Shabbos. So what should he do? So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're not hungry, then the emes is you can wait till you have an appetite, and then eat with that appetite in order to fulfill the mitzvah mina muvchar, even the hidur. Why? He says, because the emes, kiddush you made already in shul, not when they make kiddush in shul, but when you said by yechulo, you fulfilled kiddush already, except you didn't fulfill kiddush al hayayin and wine, right, so that you can wait. So therefore, if someone comes home Friday night and he doesn't have an appetite yet, and he says, look, let's wait a half an hour before we make kiddush, he says yes, then you fulfill the mitzvah min hamuvchar. But then he says, what happens though if you come home and you are not hungry at all, and you tell your wife, look, you want to wait a half an hour, and your wife says, but I'm starving, I want to eat right away, but you say it's mitzvah mina muvchar, where I should have an appetite, so we're just going to have to wait. Or let's say there are children that are hungry. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if it's going to be relevant to Shalom Bayis, or sheyesh lebebeisim mishorsim, or if you have servants in the house, or shar orchim, or other guests, certainly if you have a poor guest and they're waiting for the meal and they're hungry, then you're obligated to make kiddush and eat right away. The kiman dehemu tolim alov, because you have to. They're not someone in a different house. They're in your house. Lo yuchal akfam bifil shuhu writes a lekay mitzvah min amuvchar. You can't cause an inconvenience to others because you want to be mahadir. Hear that? It's a halacha. How many people cause inconveniences to other because they want to be mahadir? How many people cause machlekes and tear a city apart because they want to be mahadir? Here the Mishbru Paskins, he says, Heaven, Chas v'Sholom, you shouldn't cause a machlekes in your house, or even not a machlekes, you shouldn't cause an inconvenience to others. You have a guest there that's hungry because of your mitzvah min amuvchar. Now this was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's emphasis all of the time. He says, the first principle, you want to be a chosid on your cheshbon, your inconvenience, not on someone else's. Actually, I was rooming with Rabbi Tanja when we were in Telz for a year or two. And we used to live upstairs of Reb Nochem Zeiv Dessler, Reb Velbel Dessler, and his wife. Reb Velbel Dessler was the son of Reb Elia Dessler. And shortly before I came to Telz, Reb Elia Dessler had visited his children and he came to Telz. So I asked Mrs. Dessler, Velbel's wife, I said, what kind of guest was he? Reb Elia Dessler. Now Reb Elia Dessler was, he was a Talmud from Kelm. Kelm was the bedaktikin of mitzvahs, they fulfilled mitzvahs with perfection. They were the Balei Musa, with a virginity, perfection. What kind of guest was he? She said he was a very, very, very difficult guest. I said, why? I thought because of his demands. She says, no. Because he demanded nothing. Nothing. She said she couldn't do anything for him. Because she would say, would you like this? He'll say, whatever you say. Can I give you this? If you're eating this, I'll eat this. What can I prepare for you? What you prepare for yourself. Can I make it special? Maybe the kashrus, maybe this. Whatever you do for yourself, I will eat. She said he was a terrible guest. She couldn't do anything. He didn't ask for anything. He didn't demand anything. These were the Hasidim. He was a Talmud from the Talmidim of Yisrael Salanter. On his own cheshbon, he can have all his iturim and chumar as he wants. Someone else's cheshbon, that's a chosid. That's a chayta. That's not a chosid. The same thing, people come and they spend money, and sometimes they spend money that they don't have, or sometimes they spend money that they should be spending in other places on Hidurim. I remember someone called me a number of years ago. At that time a good Esri cost 100 grand. He called me, he was from Eretz Yisrael, and he says, look, he says, you're a Rosh Yeshiva. Rosh Yeshiva needs a real esrog, a very, very special esrog. He says, I'm coming from a certain kerem, a certain orchard, and these esrogim are to the perfection of the hidurim. And I'd like to bring it to you. He wants to sell it to me. I says, how much is it? He says, 400 rand. I told him in a nice way why I'm not interested. But I told myself, I'll be fulfilled the mitzvah with 100 rand, and I'll give better 300 rand to some aniyim, some poor people that they can buy new clothes for Yontif. But that's the heathen to spend 400 rand on an esrog when an esrog costs 100 rand. Unless you're an osher moflag, unless you're so wealthy. How many people impose on others and on themselves? Maybe they should be spending it on their wives and children so they could fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif min HaTorah. It's brought min HaTorah. I know poor people that don't even have enough to live on, and they're given a whole business of what kind of this and what kind of that they need. And even Chas v'Sholom, there are people that have to come. I know cases where they have to come on to Tzedakah, where the Chazal say, if you have to, you have to. But the people, especially the Hasidim or Shanim, they did everything possible that they shouldn't have to come on to take from others. And they were using money for Hidurim. This is how distorted. Torah has become we spoke about Rabbi Elia Dessler. He writes in his Sefer, I think my son Rabbi or some of the Talmidim showed me, that he writes that in Slobodka there was a Talmud, was either Slobodka or Kelm, I don't remember, there was a Talmud that used to get ready for Shabbos just shortly after noon. He would be showered, ready, dressed, ready for Shabbos 6-7 hours before. And he would go into the Beis HaMidrash and he would sit and learn. Now, that seems to be something very beautiful. Said the Hasidim Rishonim used to go out before Shabbos with the Talmidim all ready, and they would sit and wait for Shabbos to come. Not like us that we rush in at the last possible minute and whatnot. But this one was a real 5-7 hours before. So the Alter of Slobodka said on him, in so many words, he's not a Mahadar, he's a Chayta. Why? Because what does he think of people that don't do that? He's thinking that they're not mechabed Shabbos, they don't give honor to Shabbos the way they should. They're kind of mezalzel with Shabbos when they see everybody come rushing in at the last minute. Besides being Yehoda, Gaiva, and the Chofetz Chaim writes, Gaiva is a leisa semin ha-Torah. Negative commandment in the Torah is from the Targyag, and of course Baruch Hu says it's one of the worst Avedas in the Torah, but he's a Cheshed B'Kshedim. He's suspecting people that are not supposed to be suspected. The Rambam brings that Cheshed B'Kshedim is from those 24 things that a person doesn't do tshuva on. You see how far the Chochmah has to go. One final point. There's another bad ramification from this, and that is when people who are not like, generally it says in Halacha many times, it says this is a hidur, this a person should do, but only someone who's mukhsik b'chassid, someone who's known to be a chassid. If you have not great people, but just average people, or even below average people, where they start doing chumras, fulfilling chumras and hidurim and chassidus, what you're doing is you're distorting the shleimus, the balance of Torah, the priorities of Torah. And you mix into your life and your avodas Hashem all types of misguided intentions and misguided priorities and misplaced emphases. Because then you're placing an equal amount of the emphasis on the hidurim as you are on the mitzvah. And sometimes even more. And you start to forget what is more important and what is less important. And a person has only so much time and effort and money and spiritual energies. And that's when you come and find something which is common in our generation, but the Gedalim right was not common in other generations. It's a uniqueness in our generation. And what is that? You find this distortion. One simple example, but it goes far beyond that. But one simple example is another story of Rav Putner. The There was a Talmud that he had, an individual, who was very, very stringent when it came to certain things, but he did not treat his parents very nicely. He was very coarse with his parents and abrupt. And it bothered Rafutna. Finally, Rafutna told him one day, he says, you know, my machrenim is not written in the Ten Commandments. Kibur ave'em is. To wash my machrenim after the Suda is not written in the Ten Commandments. To honor one's parents is. Now what did we see there? You see a total distortion of balance and priorities of what the Torah is made of. My machrenim carries 1/1000th of 1% of the commandment of Kibur Aveim. This person was putting more effort into this than that. The fact is, my machrenim, who mentioned Rav Evel Dessler, I ate by him one Shabbos, and when he came at the end of the Suda, he says, do you want my machrenim? So I says, what do you mean, do I want? You're going to wash my machrenim? I'll wash my machrenim. He says, in Kelm we didn't wash my machrenim. My machrenim, the Balei Teisim said, we don't do today. So machlekes v'shainim, and that's how they did in Kelm, he said. He said, if you want, I'll bring it. I says, I'll do whatever you do. So here you have someone putting an effort in that, and meanwhile in Kibur Aveim, which is part of the Aseres HaDibros, this is what we're finding today. With Reb Aaron Soloveitchik, once there was the grandson from Reb Chaim, the son of Reb Meisher Soloveitchik, said he was a chaplain to prisons in New York. And he was coming into the prisons and he was finding religious Jews there. And these religious Jews naturally were ordering kosher food. But he said, and that was his job, to see that they were getting kosher food. But he said when it came to Pesach, they wouldn't eat the kosher food. They wanted mahadrin food. Now he said, this is something we never had in Europe. He says, let me explain myself. He says, we had ganovim in Europe. And we had chassidim, mahadrim in Europe. But a chassid wasn't a ganov. And a ganav wasn't a chosid. That we never had. That is the fruits of this generation that has lost, has become orphaned from what Torah was. He says, ganavim we had. Don't think they were kulam tzaddikim. And tzaddikim we had. But a tzaddik wasn't a ganav, and a ganav knew he wasn't a tzaddik. You never had a ganav that would be machmer and chol of Yisrael or mahadrim in mahadrim. And you never had a tzaddik that was a ganav. Tiff Schwartz, his son has translated it into English. It's called Eyes to See. When Matthew Liebenberg, Rabbi Matthew Liebenberg, a Talmud who's the Rav of Clermont, visited here about a couple of months ago, he showed me the book and he said, you know, this man is writing all of the things that you consistently taught us in all the years of the yeshivas. And there he goes through all of these things. And he attributes what changed it. He says, because of the Holocaust. Because of the Holocaust, the generations lost their fathers. So they had no one to learn from. But he says, what you see today is not Torah. Now, one thing I want to just bring out from there. It's a whole book, and he's a great Talmud Chacham. One thing I want to bring out. He says, who ever heard? He says, it's almost not a week. Now this is in, I don't know where he's referring to, but he's referring. He says, it's almost not a week that goes by that you do not read about Jews who are in court because they've defrauded the government, or they've defrauded companies, or they're litigating with each other over the fraud and these kind of things. He says, look, if you find Jews like that, okay, that's not what he's talking about. Torah Jews, so-called Truma Jews. He says, almost not a week. He says, who ever heard of that?
And he's saying the same thing. We had Ganovim, but they were Ganovim. Tzaddikim were Tzaddikim. Tzaddikim were beyond all suspect. They wouldn't touch a pruta that was not theirs. And the Ganov would take everything he could. But from a Jews. And he says, the Chilul Hashem, the desecration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Because the Gemara in Yuma says that you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to bring other people to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says they're bringing people to hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Gemara says. This is Torah. That's like someone would come in his talis and fillin, put a gun and hold up a bank. It would be far better, I'm saying this, it would be far better that those Jews who are, if they are involved in illegal practices, should give up their Yiddishkeit, should take off their tefillin and give up their Yiddishkeit, because then they'll just be, they won't at least be Eivan Chil Hashem, they won't desecrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. How do I know to say such a thing? Because the Gemara says it. Where does the Gemara say it? The Gemara says, Haretzi Yachti, Haretzi, Mishu who writes a Lachti, someone who wants to do a sin, and he can't hold himself back from doing the sin, what should he do? The Gemara says, let him put on clothes to disguise himself, and let him go to another city where nobody knows him, and let him do the sin there, so at least he won't be Mechal Hashem Shemayim, desecrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. This is what we have sung to. Now, we can understand. Why was it that whenever it came to a Hidur or a Chumrah, the Rosh Hashivas and the Gedalim of the previous generations approached it with extreme, extreme caution? And this is how they taught their Talmidim. And they even encouraged them to stay away from all of this unless they were great Chachomim and they knew exactly what they were doing and when they were doing it and how they were doing it. And they could understand the possible ramifications. Even the Baal Mesillas Yeshorim says, this Avoda, Shikul HaChasidus, is kosher me'od, is so difficult. And many of them would practice it only when nobody would see them. And to those that did not, that flaunted it, they would show great displeasure and even scorn. This is something we can learn from the Ner Chanukah, the Hidur Mitzvah. Actually, Rabakshi Doron, the Sfarishit chief rabbi, the past Sfarishit chief rabbi, when he visited here, he gave me a set of his forim. And when I told him I was from Telz, he asked me if I learned Shiuri Das. I said, yes. Not only that, I heard the Shiuri Das. So he says he likes the Shiuri Das very much, and he likes especially where the Alter Rav, there was a case of Yehuda Leib, criticizes in his generation yet the marketing of Torah and yeshivas like you market other things. And he turned in a sefer to a certain chapter, and he says, when I have time I should look at it. It was on Hanukkah. It was on this Gemara. And he said, we have to listen to Chazal. We can't do things that we think are right. And we have to become Chachomim. The whole purpose is Pirsumei Niso, to publicize the miracle. Yet did Chazal tell us to put a giant menorah in the Rishus HaRavim in the marketplace? Did the sages tell us, this is what he writes, to take a band and make a parade? Did the sages tell us to put a menorah on the top of every truck and drive around all over? No. What was the Pesume Nisa? Oh, he says, with media and with rash, noise? No. What's the Pesume Nisa? Ner Echod, one candle for the whole household. Not in the marketplace. Al Piske Besom, it says, by your front door. One candle. Not a torch. One candle. Not high. Low. What kind of Pesume Nisa is that? Today you tell, go to a public relations man and tell him you need to get your name out. He'll tell you how to get your name out. With all the propaganda and the media and everything else. Chazal had different ideas of what Torah is. And even the Mahadrin. All right. So everybody lights the candle in the house or in the front door. Not a torch. This is what we're saying. From here we can learn ki hi chokhmaskem ubinaskem bein hagoyim. Am chokhem v'novein. The goyim will say that when we fulfill the mitzvahs properly, how great and wise Klal Yisrael are. But Yishom Elocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that you shouldn't forget what the mitzvahs are. Because if you forget what the mitzvahs are and you distort them, the goyim will not say how wise you are. They'll say shaitim. They are fools and lunatics. This is what we can learn from here. A good Hanukkah to everyone.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.